Good evening and welcome to The Simple Truth, hosted by Jeff Lewis every Saturday evening, 5 to 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and 8 to 9 Eastern on BBS Radio. Or if it's not mainstream, it's on bbsradio.com. Tonight, Saturday, May 12, 2007, we'll be taking you back to the Elf Transmissions with Ken C. Scott. This will be part 3, where we discuss how the man-made laws from which we were usurped into the Matrix have bound us to an illusion, a false hologram. But this illusion has its faults. We'll be discussing how the current belief system of man-made laws can be bent and even broken by those who wrote them, which is known as the color of law. This will be discussing how you, one of the people, can free yourself from this illusion and prosper the way God intended you to. This stuff is truly mind-blowing, as the way history has evolved with those who have tried to make it better. First, it is strongly opposed and fought tooth and nail. Then it is ridiculed and put down. Then its truth becomes self-evident. Stay tuned, folks. This will be another highly enlightening show on The Simple Truth. And mark your calendars, May 23rd, 2007. Again, that date is May 23rd, 2007. Living Waters with Dr. Masaru Emoto in Orem, Utah. This will be Dr. Emoto's first ever lecture in Utah. He will be sharing his amazing discoveries in the realm of waterology and the vibrations of sound. It will be taped and put on DVD and available shortly after the event for those that cannot attend. Tickets are on sale now. Call 801-465-4739. Again, that number is 801-465-4739. To order Dr. Masaru Emoto's books, DVDs, posters, and more, go to www.tobehealthynow.com and go to the Waterology button on the left. That will also give you information on the lecture on the 23rd of May. Please be sure to join us on tonight's show, and together we can travel through the dimensions of time and space with the ELF Transmissions. To call, the numbers are toll-free in the U.S., 877-876-5227. Toll-free in Canada, 888-810-8322. International callers at 530-876-3222. Be sure to check in for updates on our main website at www.tobehealthynow.com. That's the number 2 and the words Be Healthy Now. And be sure to listen to our past shows at the BBS Radio Archives. For any questions, feel free to contact our host anytime at sacredtech@cox.net. Now, for those out there trying to stop truth and light, here's our disclaimer. Do not take the word of our host, announcer, or the word of any of our guests when it comes to your health, your knowledge, or your freedoms and rights. This show and its websites and BBS Radio and its websites cannot nor will not be held liable for the results achieved or not achieved from the use of our products or suggestions. This program is for your educational purposes only and not meant to replace the advice of your conscious doctor or family conscious lawyer. As always, search for yourself, educate yourself, and you will discover the truth in anything you want. Stay in the light, seek, and ye shall find. Well, let's get started with tonight's show. Here is the host of The Simple Truth, Jeff Lewis.
Well, good evening, conscious listeners, and thank you for joining us here on The Simple Truth tonight, May 12, 2007. I hope our listeners enjoyed last week's show with the vitamin lawyer, very informative gentleman when it comes to the powers that be, that are trying to take away from us our very God-given rights to our own bodies when it comes to our vitamins and nutrition and minerals and things of that nature that we are buying right now freely in the stores that they're trying to eliminate and stop for us. Anyways, for questions on last week's show, email me anytime at thesacredtech@cox.net. And I think we need to get started with tonight's show, Ken. I've been looking forward to this one. I'm glad to have you back, first of all. Thank you for your time. Now that you're starting to travel and things are picking up for you, I really appreciate this. How are you doing tonight?
Sure. I'm doing fine, doing great.
Good to hear.
How are you?
We got some more spraying today on our end. Last Saturday, heavy spraying again. The day that everybody goes out and does things, they're spraying again today. So I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Southern Nevada. Southern Nevada is totally blanketed today.
Really? Interesting.
Yep.
We're going to have to save that for another show. So let's get started. We left off on part 2. We started leading into how the law, or the laws were created way back when, and they pertain to the laws now. Do you have any ideas of kind of where you want to start with on this one? We're just going to kind of shoot from the hip a little bit and just have some fun.
Yeah, a couple of reiterations of a few key points that'll lead us into where I want to go. Fundamentally, where we started all of this discussion and the underlying point of the ELF transmissions and what is very important for everyone to understand and to integrate in their lives is that we exist in a free will universe. As such, we are individuated, individual units of consciousness, and we are sovereign, which means authority and power resides in our own being. And in order to engage with another sovereign being, we enter into an agreement, which is basically a contract. So all law, whether it's divine law or man-made law, is based on contract. When all the components of a contract are present, then it's a meeting of the minds. Two or more beings come together and agree for mutual benefit, proper consideration, and all clauses and elements of the agreement or the contract are revealed. In man's law, there is a fundamental maxim or principle of law, which is when fraud is utilized to manipulate one side of a contract, it vitiates, which means nullifies, the contract. But if we do not timely and in present time object to or call attention to that fraud or fraudulent element in a contract, then the other side can proceed as if we are in acquiescence or agreement to that contract. So this is very important to understand both in terms of our daily affairs in present time and in the larger context of what we are working to return to, which is our own sovereign status as truly empowered and self-contained beings.
Mm-hmm.
So on that basis, we left off last time. I had brought up the point that as a eternal being, we go through time and space. Our eternal spirit or a higher self takes on certain incorporated or corporeal form, which means we take on physical bodies in different points in time and space, what some people would call reincarnation. And because of the distortions in this dimension and in this zone, this time and space, or other times in space on this planet, we have been led to believe in terms of so-called spiritual paths that taking certain vows or oaths are the path to freedom or enlightenment. But in fact, what takes place is we bond our etheric body to an agreement, which is a contract, that in present time doesn't necessarily serve us. In fact, it is distinctly not serving us.
Well,
such
also
things
binds our physical
as,
body, too.
Well, the etheric body
these contracts, yeah.
Yeah, the etheric body carries it from one life to the next. And so when we incarnate in this lifetime, we're carrying it from all the past lives into the present time. And so for an example, one of the key issues on this planet and for many people, especially on the spiritual path, is the issue of money, and the issue of abundance or the issue of capacity to create. And not only create, you know, the fundamentals, but the abundance and the, you know, what in effect represents our capacity and our power to be creator beings. If we have taken on a vow of poverty, you know, so we all know that in certain many traditions, if you're a monk in the Christian tradition or even in the Buddhist tradition, a vow of poverty is fairly standard. Well, if we have bound our etheric body to a vow of poverty and we incarnate in this life, and now we recognize that poverty is not what we want, doesn't serve us, doesn't serve our ability to be, you know, contributing to the evolution and the ascension of the planet, and we're moving to create manifested abundance. But in our etheric body, we still have an agreement. We have a contract that's there of a vow of poverty. It is contrary to our present time purposes. But because we are free will beings, we have taken those vows and bound it to ourselves at some time or at some point, perhaps by our own volition. But also it was a fraudulent basis because we were led to believe that that was the way we would follow a spiritual path.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jeff, you and I, after the last show, we talked about, I ran through it real quick, but I think it would be very good for everybody listening that we do a very quick, what I call, what people who taught it to me, is basically a rescission, a vow rescission, to remove those binding agreements that don't serve us and our higher selves and our highest purpose at this time in this life.
That would be wonderful.
Yeah, I think so. So I was just thinking earlier also that it's very important to identify and be very clear what vows we're rescinding, because in this lifetime there are certain commitments that we've made, that I know that I've made, that I am still in alignment with, obligations or personal commitments or vows to create something, bring something forward, sometimes business obligations that are still there that need to be fulfilled. So there's a distinction, and when we do the little meditation.
Sorry about
okay.
that, folks. A little technical difficulty there. Ken, we're just going to continue where you left off. We're getting ready to start the meditation.
Okay. Yeah, I was just emphasizing that it's important that we cognize and declare only vows, oaths, or otherwise that do not serve us in present time, that we may have been coerced into or in some way taken in past, but current life obligations, commitments that are personally important to us, that we want to maintain validity with, we will just simply note that accordingly. And our higher
How about
selves,
this? We just include all those that did not pertain to our higher purpose.
Exactly. Okay. So it's pretty simple. Make yourself comfortable. Take a few good, solid, deep breaths, pulling our presence of our full spirit and higher self into our bodies, coming in through the crown chakra, down through the sixth, fifth, fourth chakra, centering in the fourth chakra, opening our hearts, and then continuing down to the root chakra, the third, the second, the first chakra. At the same time, pulling up the earth energy from the center of the earth, pulling it up through the two chakras in our feet, through the base of the spine, the root chakra, coming up the second, the third, centering in the fourth chakra, meeting our higher self, and blending and integrating and harmonizing our presence in present time on the earth in a physical body, and integrating our other bodies, our subtle bodies, our etheric body, our mental body, our causal body, our spiritual body, and aligning it all with our higher self and with divine presence and prime source, however we wish to describe or define that. So then we simply say, I hereby revoke and rescind and nullify ab initio, which in Latin and lawful terms means to the beginning, nunc pro tunc, which also in those terms means as if it never were. I hereby rescind any and all vows, oaths, obligations in this lifetime, in other lifetimes, in my lineage, in other parallel universes, parallel realities, in all time and space, any of those vows or oaths that do not serve me or my higher self or my purpose for being in this life at this time, I revoke them unconditionally and absolutely based on distortion, coercion, fraud, or any other means to manipulate my limited consciousness at any time when I did not understand the implications of such contracts that would be binding upon my being.
Whew, that's a mouthful. That's wonderful.
Simply breathe in and allow that. And then also in cognizance that there are commitments, obligations, what we might call vows, that do serve us at this time, that I will fulfill, that by coming into present time and releasing the distortions and miasms and manipulations that have limited me up until this time, now I call upon the full power and authority of my own being, in my own presence, in my own body, and remove all attachments, cords, psychic connections for any and all beings or energies who may have attempted to enter into my consciousness or my energy to manipulate my capacity. They are cut, removed for all time and all space, and now I am filled with my own spirit and my own higher self, and my own relationship with Prime Source and Creator. So breathe that in and allow it to permeate to every cell in the body. And also recognize that as a being, as a whole system, in a larger whole, in a hologram that has been manifest illusions, that by doing this, we are permeating and sending out rippling effects throughout the entire hologram. We are calling back our own power and authority into our own being so that we remove that much of that draining or parasitic attachment from other beings who have maybe used our power and our authority to manifest an externalized projection of that to control and manipulate both ourselves and the larger whole.
Well, the headache I've had all day long is lifting. That's incredible.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, I hope you're feeling this with us, folks. This is pretty amazing.
So work with that and understand that that will unfold in time as we move forward through what we perceive as time, that the universe and our higher self will now rearrange our manifested hologram or reality to start removing the impediments that had been attached that were able to manifest or be projected out into the virtual reality of our hologram that were creating reality as such that would prevent us or limit us or whatever may be the result of that. And so there will happen and occur in our lifetimes, in our life flow through time going forward, events that will start coming up. And it's important to remember that these things are happening so that we can deal with them and to look at them as just simply temporal manifested illusions. And what I'm talking about is whatever may happen. We may go down the road and get a ticket tomorrow and have to deal with that. Something may happen in our financial affairs. Something may happen in other affairs. So in a moment, we're going to bring it into present time. I'm going to take a very quick run through history so that what we then talk about makes sense in terms of legal, financial, and other types of considerations that impinge upon and drain us in a parasitic way.
Just a quick second here, Ken. Ken, you just mentioned the word remember, and it just hit me how you were talking about being dismembered from the past, from our root chakra, the green emerald ray being dismembered, and now we're remembering, we're reconnecting our members, basically.
Exactly. And which, again, is that male, masculine energy at the root chakra that physically and energetically was castrated and then split, and then forcing the energetic body to pop out in the second chakra and schism. And when we get into discussion of how law and legal systems have been structured, attached to the way money or what we call money is manifested at this time, things happen that are very reflective of a electrical function of the masculine energy, where what happens when they bring an action against us, like we get a ticket, we have to go to court. What do? They bring a charge. What do we have to do? We have to discharge it, balance the energy. So it's very important to see it both energetically and then how it functions legally, physically, and all the rest of it.
Well, that's one reason I've always described it as an energy circuit or a flow of electrical energy. You know, it flows one direction, exactly. And if it hits a switch, it's not able to flow the rest of the direction. So that means you're holding that charge. So do you want to fight the organizations and the powers that be and hold the charge against you and fight them? Or do you simply want to go in there with honor and respect and discharge the energy and do exactly what they're trying to do, which is get resolve and settlement?
Right, exactly. So, and I purposefully, and of course you caught that, used the word remember. As we talked about things like the Egyptian period and the construction of obelisks that were used as an artificial mechanism to hold the male energy and all of that. Well, we see that brought all the way into modern time. And one of the things I wanted to mention is prior to...
Do we have a caller on the line?
Yeah, you got the caller on the line, Dr. T.J. Johnson. Hey, how you doing, Jeff Lewis?
It's Ambassador T.J. How you doing, brother?
Hey, man, I'm doing pretty good, man. I'm just trying to keep up with you, man, all that good work, man, that you're doing, man. I'm just glad to hear your voice.
You too, brother, you too. You've been helping us out with some amazing stuff. You are an incredible person.
Well, man, I think God is just trying to bring, you know, all the light workers together to do some good on planet Earth.
Amen, amen. You two have spoken before, haven't you, Ken?
Yeah, we talked once or twice. Hey, TJ.
Hey, who is this?
Yep, doing good.
It's Ken. Ken from Pahrump.
Okay, right. Me and Ken, we talked once before. Yeah, we have. How you doing? How you been doing, Ken?
I'm doing fine. Thank you very much.
Good. Glad to hear. Well, Jeff, I'm a little late. I'm kind of traveling, man, but I just wanted to call in the show, man, and see what's going on with you guys.
Well, I appreciate that. We're about to get into some deep stuff here, so you're going to have to catch the archive if you're not online right now, but we're going to get into some really good stuff here.
Okay.
So I don't know if you got a question for Ken or myself, go ahead and let it rip, or if you got something you'd like to spit out there in regards to the law realm.
I just came in on it, so I don't know what the topic is, but what's going on out here, man, in the world of law, man? I know this around the country. A lot of people are being attacked in the legal realm.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even for small infractions, seem like everything now has been criminalized, everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that even when you try to apply the law, it doesn't apply in these administrative courts. So what do you find going on, you know, from your perspective? Do you see... that we're dealing with a fair and legal system? What's going on?
Well, I think what's going on is that they never anticipated that people would be picking up their authority and power to the level that has happened and continues to grow. And when they're confronted with their own law and the proper procedure, both legally, administratively, in admiralty, and people understand the nature of the way the courts are constructed, it's throwing them back into a tilt, you know, a disconnect. They don't know what to do. So it is forcing them to overrun their own legal system and become totally lawless, which right now we're at a very critical stage to hold and effectively force them to deal with their own aberrant behavior, and they're like a cornered, trapped, virulent animal trying to attack. And I think that is an indication, like the pilots in World War II said, "You knew you were over the target when the flak started shooting all around you."
Right.
So we just have to hold the course and support and help each other get through this.
Well, can I tell you, man, that's what we've been doing. I know for me, I've been in the battling game for a long time, and, you know, we're getting some success. We find that, you know, dealing, like you said, you mentioned the word admiralty, and we know those administrative courts, they're not dealing with law, they're dealing with the color of law, so we're dealing with the fiction.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just a matter of now, we got to go in pretty much with an invoice in our hand coming in, since we're dealing with commerce and dealing with these courts. I know.
Well, maybe that's one thing we could explain to our listeners here. TJ, can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
I was saying maybe that's one thing we can explain to our listeners here. We mentioned admiralty and maritime law and all this kind of stuff. And what that simply converts to is equitable or equity courts. The courts simply deal with a figure of money, a dollar sign. There's something involved somewhere that there's an amount of money that they are charging you with. The charge itself, you did this or you did that or you violated this code or violated that statute, is just the wizard's illusion. The reality is that there's a charge of money involved somewhere, and that needs to be discharged or this case will continue and you will get screwed into the system and into a world that's just, I wouldn't wish on my worst enemies.
Well, you know, you're right, and that's why, you know, when I mentioned that one of the things I think in the court, the main thing is everybody that goes to court and they go to jail for contempt only and dishonor. So I believe from my experiences and from what I'm seeing and helping other people, the main thing you have to do is purge the contempt and discharge the debt. And I think once you purge the contempt and discharge the debt, case is closed.
Right. And now they're dishonoring you if they don't settle that case immediately.
Exactly. Exactly. That's the point. You know, so that's what I'm finding, man. I think if light workers and as children of God, I think we should be all working together because all of our experiences are valuable to each other. You know, I've been through some things, you've been through, and other people have been through things, and I think when we come together and work together, I think eventually we will win.
There's more proof right there that it's all about coming together. That is definitely time.
Well, it's definitely time, man. As we were taught when we were young, we were dealing with spiritual wickedness in high places. And it's definitely wicked in these courtrooms. Yeah. And it's definitely wicked on these municipalities and these police. And therefore, again, you know, we should be, you know, working together to help each other. I think throughout all of it, we must always maintain a strong sense of spirituality along with everything that we do, because we always need guidance from divine intelligence.
Yes.
And I know, Justin, from being around you, man, you know, you're a spiritual man, and I take that, you know, that Ken is too, for the fact that, you know, you guys are friends and you deal with each other. I think, again, man, you know, it's time for the lightweights, you know, the light workers to come together, man, to show the way for the others that's in darkness.
Yes, yes, very much so. Well, TJ, I appreciate the call in and you taking the time during your travels. TJ, maybe we can get you on for a separate show in the near future and talk about some of the stuff we've actually gone through and done and experienced firsthand.
Well, that's what we're going to do, Jeff, and, you know, it's always a pleasure, you know, and for folks that hear you every week, you know, I just want to attest, man, that you know, you're one great guy, and, you know, it's good to be in association with you, and it's good to work with you.
I feel the same way about you, brother.
Again, man, I got to move on to the next one, but God bless you both, and I look forward to talking to you soon, Jeff.
You too. Blessings and
light,
TJ.
Thank you, TJ.
God bless.
Okay, we'll talk soon. Well, that was a nice surprise.
Yeah, sure.
We didn't get too far off subject, so let's just continue. We got about
we did.
Program.
Yeah. So I just wanted to pull something in from the historical context that we talked about the first two sessions that is very important. The whole thing of the truncated or castrated male, the dismembered male energy and so forth. In the so-called pagan times, pre-Christian times, there were ceremonies that and processes or rituals that symbolically and energetically identified that. It was in the springtime called the Beltane rites or rituals, and there was something called the Beltane King, which there was at one point a physical man who became the Beltane King for 1 year, and literally at the end of that year, he was sacrificed. It was the sacrifice of the male principle or the Christed male principle, and then he was resurrected. That day of resurrection became known as May Day, and we had the Maypole, which was the reenactment or the remembering of the male phallus or the male energy. Then it was done symbolically and energetically, and this is what was incorporated into the Egyptian process energetically the pre-biblical and the biblical and the whole Isis Osiris mystery cult that we talked about last time. And part of it is that the word, the name Osiris, if you change it slightly, it becomes Osiris. And an iris is an opening and closing like the eye, the iris of the eye. And Osiris in the solar system, the planet of Jupiter in relationship to Saturn, I was showed this once by somebody who studied this, that it actually, the orbits actually create an iris effect where it opens and closes at a periodic rhythmic cycle. And it's like the solar system is a lens that focalizes the energy coming from the Pleiades into this eighth tone or the completion of the octave. That's Osiris that opens and closes through the sun and then individually comes into our physical embodiment, hits the root chakra, and then goes back up to the iris that's in the third eye. And this is part of what's been truncated, because when we don't have this open capacity, we cannot see the black magicians and the illusions and the veils that have been perpetrated to entrain us into believing in the false reality as if it was real.
So not to get off subject here, but does this have anything to do with these major solar cycles hitting us?
Well, yeah. Let me say this last thing, then we'll go into that, which
sure,
is simply
sure.
That people have talked about what's called the photon belt, which is a large circular emanation from Alcyone, which is the central sun in the Pleiades, and our orbit of the solar system passes through that once every 13,000 years, or half of the grand solar cycle of 26,000 years. We are entering into that and have been for the last 20 years, but we're in a more photonically excited state. And so everything is increasing in magnitude and energy. The sun, all the planets, you know, so-called global warming is primarily because of that. Has nothing to do, well, very little, not
very
to say
little
that
from what I hear.
Environmental issues, are not important. I see that the environmental issues and the other side making a political issue about it is simply a way for the consciousness to wake up back into integrity with the planet and nurturance of our environment and all of that. But the real cause is the excitation of the molecular and atomic level of our bodies through the sun and through the planetary body. And what happened 13,000 years ago is our consciousness was so split or polarized from our higher self that we couldn't hold or sustain the containment of that super excited state, and it caused a precipitous fall, which was the last phase of the fall of that period that we call Atlantis, and basically we dropped in consciousness significantly, but in this last 11 to 13,000 years have been building up to remember, reintegrate, and come to a level where we could hold the consciousness in this higher photonic state, in which means the light, basically. And this time, we are going to sustain and hold that balance. And that's why all of these things, from chemtrails to fluoride and chlorine in the water, denigrated food system, these are all attempts to drop our vibrational level, which would cause our body not to be able to sustain these energies and our ability to hold our consciousness consciously in the body. So
I heard depleted uranium is one thing that's very effective at doing that.
Sure,
exactly. All over the planet.
And the key for the listeners to remember is that this information is what everybody already knows. We know this at a fundamental level, and this is a remembering process. So getting back to the creating that remembering, that symbol of the phallus in the obelisk or the maypole and all of that, there's a reason the maypole was put at the May Day on May 1st, because the month of May is the month of the emerald. That's the birthstone. It is also when we align between the earth, the sun, and the Pleiades. because the Pleiades is at 17 degrees Taurus, which just happened like 3-4 days ago. So we just hit 17 degrees Taurus in the month of May, which is where the emerald ray is coming from, and it comes through the sun as a like a refracting lens, and then O's iris, or that iris that I described, both in the solar system and the individual body. And so the attempt was to create an artificial split, and that concept of the maypole and the artificial phallus, and to aggregate all of the workers, the slaves, the bonded, indentured bodies and life force of the planetary population, because May Day now is considered the day of the communism, you know, the workers' day or communism or whatever, celebrated all over the world. But you'll find in history interesting timings on that day. For example, the Empire State Building, which is obviously a major phallic symbol that was constructed in the Empire State in New York, the Empire being the Roman Empire, the day it was dedicated was May 1st. And you'll find May 1st being acknowledged or, you know, utilized in ritual many times. For example, we just had the 4th year anniversary of George Bush supposedly, you know, landing in his pilot's jacket on that aircraft carrier, and declaring mission accomplished. Well, that was done on May 1st. So he was really, he wasn't mission accomplished like we took over, we won the war. They knew it was going to go into what it has become. That was the real mission, to create the civil war and the civil unrest and to fragment create what we're seeing today. So his mission accomplished on May 1st, the declaration, was to his handlers and controllers, I did my job. I created the schism in the Middle East that's going to fulfill the need to start World War III. But we're also seeing that World War III is not starting. It's being attempted over and over the last few years. But it's short-circuiting because the consciousness is rising above it and not allowing it to manifest into the hologram.
Hallelujah. So I believe that completely.
Yeah, exactly. So also May 1st in 1776 was the day that Adam Weishaupt created the Illuminati, or announced it, or, you know, ritually initiated in 1776 in Bavaria. So there's many times May 1st has been brought up. So anyways, that's important for people to be aware of. And when we talk about forms of law, there are three basic fundamentals, as you know, or fundamental areas, common law, equity, and admiralty. And if people remember from school, we were taught that the part of the reason the colonies revolted is because of vice-admiralty courts. Because when you're in admiralty, the admiral, the law of admiralty is maritime law, it's the law of the sea. It's so that the admiral or the captain of the boat has absolute authority, has absolute control. It's tyrannical, it's dictatorial, it's dominant from the top. In the colonies, the governors of each colony were made vice admirals, and so they had that dictatorial control, which the colonies were ultimately rebelling against. Today, we are back in admiralty, and that's what TJ was referring to. And don't know if we're going to go into all that history, but basically, after the Civil War, certain things took place, including the incorporation of Washington, D.C., and then in 1913, the creation out of that corporation of the Federal Reserve, and then the bankruptcy of all of that implemented in 1933. From that point on, bankruptcy is an admiralty process. So the courts we have today are not courts of law. They are administrative, adjudicating courts of admiralty. So we are right back where we were before the Revolutionary War, which is we have admiralty courts.
Continue.
So therefore, yeah.
Okay. Good.
So the key that people have to understand is just as there is a false hologram, there is also a false reality in law that has been created. And what happened is in 1933, FDR declared a state of emergency. He reinvoked war powers that were initiated originally by Lincoln to go into the Civil War and a state of martial law. And so when he declared a state of war, he also declared bankruptcy, and therefore everything was reorganized and put into admiralty structure. There was something that was done in 1933, 34, and I believe into 35. It was called the Administrative Procedures Act. That was administrative procedures to administrate the bankruptcy. So everything was reconstituted under the branch of the executive to administer the bankruptcy. In order to comply with the original jurisdiction, which was the original constitution, there had to be a separation. So the corporation was allowed to create overlays or corporate fictions on the original substantive structure, whether that's the sovereign republics, which were the states, or the sovereign individuals, which were the people. So a fiction at law was created, which was a type of trust. So that was state of California, state of Nevada, and so forth, county of such and such. Anything that is incorporated, a city, a board of supervisors, a school district, they're all corporate subdivisions. They're all fictions. The individuals were, with the birth certificate, a fiction was created, which was a type of trust, which we call which in law is referred to as the straw man. And it's the all capital letters name. But in the English language, there's no such thing as a proper name in all capital letters. And if you look at the government style manual, which is the rule book of how language in the English language is applied to any and all government procedure, the only place you will find an all capital letters name is referencing a vessel, which means a boat. So our what looks like our name, but really isn't our name, in all capital letters, is really a vessel in maritime that's created as an alter ego, or the straw man, a fiction in law, and it's put into the administrative procedures of the admiralty adjudication or administration of the bankruptcy.
Well, it's the very same thing as corporations. Their names are all spelled in all case, counties, cities, and things
exactly.
of that nature. When you do a DBA,
exactly.
you start a business, you may put it in upper and lower case, but when it gets printed out and comes to you, it's on the all upper case because it's a fiction. It's a corporation. It's not real. It's not a human being.
Right. And so that is the fiction that resides in the false hologram. And the interesting thing to note is that in maritime activity, going back around 800-900 years, the origins of insurance started coming into being. And, of course, that was when ships were sailing the ocean carrying cargo. They had to be insured. And that is a form of bonding in which a surety or a guarantee underwrites the value that is potentially at risk. And, of course, we can't go into all the detail, and this is something that people have to, if they want to find out, they have to commit to the process of their own education, seeking out, whether through the Internet or people that they can find, to guide them in the educational process to understand this and really incorporate it. Because if you try something and you think you know it and it's half-baked, you're going to get in a lot of trouble. So we recommend people only use this information to understand at an educational level to start doing their own research and investigation. But the key to understand here is that the straw man is a fiction in the corporate arena. It's also what we call the civil body, the public body, and also the commercial venue. Venue is where something takes place. So when we were moved from our original jurisdiction into this corporate commercial jurisdiction, we were revenued, which when you put that together means revenue.
Perfect.
Revenue, but it means revenued. That's why Internal Revenue Service operates in this arena. So the person, the real person, the individual, the human sentient being, is used as a guarantee from which and where all the credit comes from to create the public debt, which we call money, and the surety guarantees it, just like the insurance to guarantee the cargo that's in a boat or in a ship at sea. This is where the bonding comes from. So every time something is created against the straw man, whether it's a traffic ticket, tax bill, or anything
judgment,
else,
claim,
order of
lien,
court.
You name it. Yeah, order of court.
You know, other seemingly binding contracts, what happens is literally a bond is created. The fiduciary who holds that bond is the clerk of the court. And the clerk really is the transacting functionary in a fiduciary capacity. So when a person goes into a court, which is, remember, an administrative body administrating the bankruptcy in admiralty jurisdiction, that a bond is created and they say, okay, the fine is $300. Well, what they're saying is, we want you to come out of your coffers and put into the public arena a form of public debt, the Federal Reserve notes, and give it to the court. In reality, what they're doing is they're creating a bond on the private side. The clerk of the court is a fiduciary, holds it, sends it to the Treasury, and it is traded and created all kinds of monetary functions that they can run their own programs over and over again in all kinds of ways, creating wars, running wars, and everything else that's going on that the population is unaware of. This is where it's created. This is a form of energetically and parasitically pulling out of our creator capacity from our real substance as divine, spiritual, sovereign beings. So as we remember, we pull in our energy and our authority, we start remembering how we can create. And we can create in ways that are beyond our current comprehension, and it doesn't require a checkbook and having to write what we call money. And remember, I mentioned that money comes from the word mon, M-O-N, just like M-O-N-D-A-Y, Monday, which is part of the moon cult or the lunar cult that was part of the original stellar, lunar, and solar cults that created that so-called body of Israel. So it goes on and on. There are layers and layers and layers of this all throughout the system.
Well, I was just thinking of all these other things we can continue on with here, but we're just about getting to the end of the show on our time here.
One interesting thing is that the courts really ultimately go back to something called the Temple Bar, which is in the City of London, because all of these courts in the United States are really referred to as temples of justice. That's why the magistrate wears a black robe. And, of course, the word magistrate comes from the word magi, which is the magician. Okay, they are magicians. They are black magicians weaving veils and spells of illusion. So, but the magistrate, as the functionary in the temple, comes in, sets the energetic, sets the bar. The clerk, and the word clerk comes from the word cleric, which of course means the priest. Remember when we talked about the line of the priest and the line of the king? The line of the priest controls the law, creates the obedience, which binds the consciousness to obey through oaths of fealty. And when we removed our vows and oaths earlier in the hour, we were removing oaths of fealty or oaths of allegiance. Remember, when we were kids, we pledged allegiance to the flag. And if you remember last time we talked about the flag, was really the flag of the British East Indies Company, which was a commercial extension of the British Crown, or the Crown of England. The Crown of England actually resides in the City of London, which is where the Temple Bar is. The Crown was bequeathed by King John in the year 1213 to the Vatican. He was afraid that he had transgressed things and in his spiritual situation, and in order to regain his soul, he thought, what he did was, in what's been called in history the Holy Alliance, he bequeathed his crown, his lands, his hereditaments forever to the Vatican or to the Pope in 1213. So when we talk about the British crown, we're talking about something that is actually owned and controlled by the Vatican.
Wow. And that we can start off on our next show. Can we get you back for part four?
Hey, we'll keep going until we run out of things to talk about.
Well, thanks.
Which probably is not going to happen for a while.
Well, we'll get you back on whether you're here or Hong Kong or Costa Rica. We'll get you on the radio. But thanks for joining us tonight.
Okay.
This was great. I definitely look forward to having you back on again to continue with the ELF transmissions. Thank you and namaste.
Thanks. And I think next time, let's open it up to questions. Have people call in and have questions. Also, I do have part one. I've been real busy with other things that demand my time and attention, but I've been working through. I just want to edit it and refine it so it's really as present, up to present time as possible. I will have that to you, Jeff, in the next few days, and then you can post the link for people to download that from your website.
Wonderful. Okay, I will do that.
So we'll get that out there. People can read that. It fills in a lot more detail on the energetic and the historical and the multidimensional levels. And then next time, let's open it up to questions.
I will do that. Thank you, Ken. Thanks again for your time tonight. And thank you, all our listeners. Thanks, Ken. And thanks to all our listeners for tuning in tonight and being aware enough to seek out truth. Blessings and light on all your life path always. Well, that's the end of tonight's show. Many thanks go out to our producer, Donald Newsom, for BBS Radio and what he and all those involved have done with the BBS Radio Network. Now, BBS Radio is the number one internet radio show network in the world. BBS Radio is the first to bring you truth, knowledge, consciousness, and so much more directly through the internet. Now we can finally get the truth out there to those who are so desperately seeking it. Thanks for tuning in, and be sure to tune in next week for another enlightening show on The Simple Truth. Bye for now, until next Saturday, same time, same place, and may your lives be filled with great joy and wonder, always. Love and light to all.